We meditate tonight on Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing in the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast of our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Lord, sanctify us in your truth. This your word is truth. Amen. Well, this text is one that you may know well. It's often quoted and it's been a source of reassurance and strength to Christians over many centuries. Talking about that could be quite a good sermon in itself. It has that very memorable and powerful unfolding chain of consequences and effects, and that's why people tend to remember it. Paul talks about a process that is going on in the hearts and minds and lives of believers. How through suffering, love and spiritual maturity gradually grow in a Christian's life as they grow in their trust of God's grace from day to day and throughout life. One thing leads to another, as Paul describes in verses 2 to 5. It starts with suffering. And that produces endurance. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope doesn't disappoint us because it leads us to God. And what's behind all this, the driving force behind it, is the Holy Spirit poured into our hearts by God. Perhaps you have known a Christian at some time in your life in whom you have seen this beautiful process unfolding. In my job, I'm privileged to train and mentor young Christian people in theology and ministry, and so I see this process happening often. This is one of the great privileges and joys of my job, and it's something that gives me great hope for the future, I must say. God is at work in people. He's at work in people when they least suspect it. He's at work in people even though they themselves can't see it. Faith in Christ is established and it grows. It deepens, and then something else happens. Just as faith seems to be bringing the greatest joy, along comes suffering. Things go wrong, and the Christian experience is one of pain, frustration, and sorrow. But by God's grace, they are able to endure it, to bear it. And at the end, they come out of that with their faith stronger. Their faith has somehow been tempered or hardened because they know something then that they didn't know before, or didn't know in quite that way anyway. They know that God can really be trusted in a crisis, that he is faithful and that he stays with you and that he helps you. And so this deepening awareness goes with and stays with the Christian. And as they build on that conviction, their lives take on a deeper pattern. A kind of framework is established. And when they meet adversity again, they turn to God and trust in his grace and mercy again, and they find him faithful and able to help them endure it again. And so they're established yet more firmly in this pattern that Paul calls character. And this is a very interesting word that he uses here. It's a word that comes in Greek from the world of metalworking and minting coins. And it refers to that process where metal is purified or hardened by fire. And you find this image in other places in the Bible, particularly in 1 Peter 1, where Peter talks about how our faith, which is more precious than gold, is tested by fire so that it might be purified and proved genuine. And this character, as Paul describes it here, produced by endurance, is tested and strengthened by fire, as life throws up greater and greater challenges for us to deal with. Just an important qualification here. Paul is not talking here in Romans about what we might call the Hollywood version of character that is so popular, where the hero's own superior self-belief and fortitude is the key ingredient that helps them overcome all adversity. That's a false idol. Christian character is distinct because it is developed when the believer discovers that they can rely utterly on God and his grace, and it's based alone on God's grace to us in Christ. When this character begins to be built, which relies upon and proves God's love and mercy again and again, then Paul says the outcome is hope. We know that our life and our future is in God's loving hands. We know that we can't control everything that happens to us, and we don't know what's waiting for us around the bend in the future. But what we do know is God's mercy, both here and eternally, and we become able to rest on that, to have hope on that basis and security in that grace of God. This hope is not some uncertain or provisional hope. It's based on a truth that can be absolutely relied upon. The believer has over and over again become more deeply confident of this as their character is strengthened and the Holy Spirit has formed them in that pattern. To give you an example, I am hopeful about my marriage to my dear wife, Coralie. I have strong hope that we will continue in our marriage in the future and that she will continue to love me. Why? Because I'm sure of her love for me. I know that it's strong. Well, it has to be. And it's genuine. She's proved it many, many, many times. Every day, in fact. We'll celebrate our 30th anniversary in April this year, so I have good reason for my hope here. Now, our marriage with God is even more certain and even more secure. We can hope in him confidently because we know his character. We know his love, his faithfulness, his forgiveness and generosity, his mercy and his eternal patience with us. When the Holy Spirit builds endurance and character in us, we also grow into this hope. Hope even for future here in this uncertain world, no matter what it may throw at us, and hope for eternity, based on the promises of this faithful God. St. Paul, who's writing here in Romans, is a seasoned Christian sufferer. I was struck again the other day by verses in 2 Timothy where he's reflecting on this and all that he has had to go through. And he says, "For this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher, and for this reason I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know the one in whom I have put my trust. And I am sure that he is able to guard until that day what I have entrusted to him." I know the one in whom I put my trust. All this is very pertinent to our lives at the moment in the midst of this pandemic. We're in the midst of a trial which is quite a tough one, tougher than most of us have ever known. It is not perhaps full of severe suffering and pain, not for most of us anyway, but it has that quality of testing that the most difficult experiences all have. It's long-lasting. Psychologists know that we human beings, we are able to cope with difficulty and even with severe suffering when it comes in a short burst, when it's for a short period and we can bounce back from it and get back to our normal routine and our normal life. But when things grind on for a long time, that's much more difficult. Our human routines that sustain us are suspended. Our bodies react to it, and so do our minds and souls. Our mental health, as well as our physical health, can come under threat as this drags on. Anxiety and depression are already rearing their heads in the life of our community as we all live through this time. To survive, we have to hang on. We have to persevere. We have to endure. We've been in this situation for a few weeks now, and we don't know when it will end and when we'll come out of it. But there is real comfort and real strength for all of us here in God's Word. This God that we can rely on utterly to help us endure. God is doing His work in us through this time. Difficult as it might be, and hard to believe as that might be, because He is equipping us as His people to meet this time with endurance. He is testing, hardening, strengthening as we learn that we can rely on Him day by day to form us into that Christian character that Paul describes here in order to give us that supporting hope. Hope to go on. Hope for the future, here and forever, through His Son Jesus Christ. That is the unfolding chain of spiritual maturity that takes shape as the Spirit pours God's love into us. And as we live by grace and find that grace proved again and again. But sometimes there's a different process at work, isn't there? I see this process happening in people sometimes too. I see it in myself. It's a bit like the process Paul's talking about here, but it goes in the opposite direction. It goes something like this. Suffering produces complaining. Complaining produces misery and cynicism. Misery and cynicism produce rage and despair. And rage and despair destroy us because our hearts are utterly empty and loveless, and there is no point in going on. Perhaps you know this process too. This is the unfolding process of the human life, in which there is also suffering, but in which God is closed out. And we should not be too pious and fast to say, well, that's what happens to unbelievers, that's what happens to non-Christians who don't know Christ. Because this chain of events can unfold in our lives sometimes too. Sinners, we still are. And this sinful chain of events, which unfolds in its particular way, it has its own character that it forms as well. The character that forms in us is marked by anger. It thinks like this. It encounters problems and it says, what's going on here? I don't deserve this. This is not fair. It's not right. This world is a mess. It's full of idiots who don't know what they're doing, unlike me. To hell with it all. It's all hopeless, and I can't be bothered with it anymore. Both these pathways, these unfolding personalities, these unfolding characters that we see, the one I've just outlined and the one which Paul has outlined, both have suffering in them. The difference is that those who know Christ have something extra, something new, something, a resource which is way beyond anything we human beings have in ourselves. And the difference here is not that Christians have happier lives or they have things go right more of the time. No, they have something different. When Paul refers here to suffering and problems in life, he knows what he's talking about because his life was full of suffering, more suffering than most of us have ever had to bear or will ever have to bear. And yet, just read Paul's letters, and you find that they are overflowing with joy and hope. Not long ago, an old friend that I'd not heard from for a long time made contact with me again. We know each other quite well, but we had not talked for years. And she reached out to me because she was having a tough time in life with her physical health and her mental health too. And after corresponding with me for a while on email, she wrote to me one day, "You seem joyful and at peace in a way that I could never be." And she wrote, "Now I know you're not perfect, and I know that life is not always easy for you. So tell me, what is it? What is it?" Well, the best answer to that question is right back at the beginning of this text in Romans 5, in verses 1 and 2, which introduce this whole section that we've just been studying together. Paul says, "Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God." This is it. This is where this unfolding process of endurance and character and hope comes from. This is where this chain of effects all begins, here in verses 1 and 2. This is the source of it all. It starts with our salvation. It starts with those events that I read in the Passion History earlier. The forgiveness of our sins through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The promise of eternal life through his death, through his passion, through his resurrection for us. Through him, Paul says here, we have access to the treasure house of divine grace, unlimited access to the Father, who gives us everything in Christ, who sends us his Spirit, who walks with us day by day, producing in us those fruits, endurance, character, and hope, even in, especially in, the darkest and most difficult times of life. Jesus Christ, who suffered for us, whose passion we have been reading over these Lenten devotions, shows his willingness to endure suffering for us. He shows his character in that he is gladly able to face death for us, to bring us hope of being raised to glory by the Father. Jesus has opened this access, this living way through his blood, winning this grace in which we now stand. It's all from Him, and it's all freely available to you. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.